His skin is white just like a ghost. Thick Irish roots and his blonde hair. And he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Welcome to the Andy Dare Show. This is episode 136. Today I am joined by Canadian rocker Craig Northey, and nice guy. He's most known for his work in the band Odds, and also does tons of TV and film scoring as well. Friends with the Kids in the Hall Comedy Collective. They did an awesome collaborative video for Odds' 1993 single called Heterosexual Man. I'll put that on our Facebook page. It's an awesome video, great song from a great album called Bedbugs. And yeah, we get into a whole bunch of cool stuff, how he worked with Warren Zevon, how he met the Kids in the Hall people, and a nice guy. Pretty much got turned on to his music by Paul Myers and another Canadian guy, and really enjoying the stuff. I pretty much picked up all the Odds albums, and highly recommended by the Andy Dare Show. And yeah, it's a cool interview. I'll keep my spiel short today. Just a bunch of cool stuff going on. Yesterday morning, I get a text from my buddy Ryan, and it's just a screenshot of my name being mentioned in the Huffington Post, and it's a weird thing. It was Kurt Cobain's birthday, and they did an in-depth interview with Aaron Burkhard, pretty much the first Nirvana drummer, back before they were even called Nirvana, and he was an awesome guy, and he was very nice to be a guest on my show way back in fall of 2011. And yeah, I do these interviews, you forget about them, I put them on best ofs, but then I pretty much forget about them. And it's cool though, because 3.5 years later, I am mentioned in the Huffington Post via my interview with him, and it's all about how they would drink this skunky animal beer. And they were teenagers in Seattle, jamming on music. There's not much other things to do than to hole up in the house. It's bad weather, and drink some animal beer. So yes, do check out the article. I'll have a link at antidare.com. Want to thank the Huffington Post. Pretty cool article, and it's been shared like 25,000 times or something like that. They have a link up to our YouTube interview. It's just a YouTube thing of the audio from our interview back in 2011. And yeah, I probably wouldn't have even known this came out. I'm not a regular reader of HuffPo, but somebody just sent me it, and I want to thank everybody for checking that out. I want to thank Aaron Burkhard for doing that interview. He's a nice guy. We stay in touch, and things are looking good for him. I mean, Sonic Highways, he got to hang out with Jack and Dino and all that stuff. So it's all coming around for the guy, and I couldn't be happier for him. So yeah, I'll have a link up to the HuffPo article at andydare.com. And last week I was on the Dig Me Out podcast, which is a cool podcast. It's a weekly thing. They dissect a full album, go track by track, talk about who produced it, where it was recorded, all the little liner note facts that record dorks like me are all about. And last week we did a roundtable discussion with two other guys plus the guys from Dig Me Out podcast, and it was an in-depth discussion on Britpop, which if you're a fan of the show, you know I'm a huge Britpop nerd. I was always into Oasis and Blur in the mid-90s. I even did a classroom discussion about Blur versus Oasis. That's how much it was part of the culture. Even in America, they crossed over. And yeah, it's cool. We talk about if you're a fan of Suede, Supergrass, Blur, Oasis, Manic Street Preachers, Super Furry Animals. We talk about all those bands, and it's a great time. I think it's about an hour-long episode. And yeah, that link can also be found at andydare.com. Otherwise, you can just go straight to the source, digmeoutpodcast.com. We'll be right back after this quick message.
Yo, Jay Porks here from the Jay Porks Experience. Just a reminder to keep it locked to the Andy Dare Show and all the other programming here on the fabulous Dare Network here in 2014. Jay Porks, Tyler Kale, Andy Dare.
And we are back. Just a few more things before we get into the interview. Last week I had another article published on EmptyLighthouse.com, and speaking of Britpop, it's about Noel Gallagher's awesome new album. And while his first solo album kind of disappointed me in many different ways, this one is highly impressive. I'll leave it at that. Read the review at EmptyLighthouse.com. Once again, I'll have a link on that on AndyDare.com. And it's just cool. He's found a new wind. He's back to his classic way of writing songs. Great production, psychedelic flourishes galore, but really catchy earworm melodies. And that's important to me. You know, I turned 30. I'm less into knob twiddling and all that stuff. If you can write a really good song, that's something that is timeless. So, Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds, that's what the band is called. And the new album is called Chasing Yesterday. Do check out my review. I want to thank everybody at Empty Lighthouse for publishing my articles coming up on a year. It's been a great time with them. They have a really nice looking website. I just do music reviews, but they pretty much hit on every different aspect of popular culture. But you know me, I'm just a music guy, so I'm going to be giving my record reviews on a weekly basis. But do check it out, Noel Gallagher's new album, and it's highly impressive. I won't be reading you a segment today. I just want to get straight into the interview. That's about it. Want to thank Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue for coming on as a sponsor. One of my earliest sponsors, long-running. They just bought another season of shows. Want to thank Uncle Bub's. Check them out, unclebubs.com. Real deal barbecue. They got smokers built into the restaurant. Open 7 days a week, family-friendly, but they also, half of the business is catering, and they'll come out to anywhere, weddings, pig roasts, luaus, you name it, grill packages, corporate packages, all sorts of stuff. Give them a call, 630-493-9000. Check them out on the web, unclebubs.com. They have a helpful, friendly staff that is willing to answer any questions that you have about catering, and love is in the air. I mean, it's wedding season coming up soon, so why not get some soul food, get some home-cooked American fare from Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue. Thanks, guys. And, yeah, that about does it. Want to thank you for staying for the spiel. Want to thank you for staying for the interview. And without further ado, here is my interview with Craig Northey, Even the Odds. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show, episode 136. I am joined by Craig Northey. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Andy?
Doing great. Yeah, I've actually just been checking out the music of Odds and just enjoying all of it. I went all the way back to the first one, Neapolitan. And, yeah, lots of stuff to enjoy there. You got a brand new EP called Party, Party, Party that came out, late last year?
Well, I guess it would be because this is a fresh year. Yeah. Just near the end of the year, December.
Nice. Is it a type of thing like in 2015, it's more fun just putting out these short doses of the group instead of spending all the time and energy into a full length?
Well, we kind of did it. We put all the time and energy and we did kind of a double album and then, thought, well, why don't we pay homage to the way people are listening to music lately and chop it up into these little sections. And that gives us a chance to have different artwork and fool around and have these bite-sized pieces of music that kind of make a statement. And then in the end, we'll do sort of a best of vinyl of the trilogy. We made it into a trilogy. We figure, hey, that works for Lord of the Rings.
Nice. Yeah, worked for them. It could have worked for the Odds, definitely.
Yeah, we'll be millionaires instantly.
Nice. Well, that's not usually the end game, but it will be cool for the fans to have a collector's item, you know, instead of just having it on their phone or on their iTunes, you know?
Yeah, we put them out as limited, numbered releases. So there's only that many of the EPs that you can get, the hard goods. I think people enjoy having the postcard from the band, having something to hold.
Oh, I am one of those people. Yeah, I've got like 4,000 CDs, lots of vinyl. You can have it on your phone, and that's nice, you know, for on the bus or whatever. But when I come home, I like to read the liner notes. I like to see who produced it, where it was recorded, all that little music nerd stuff, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And, so I've been going back and checking the band out, and you guys started as a cover band, then started you writing your own stuff for that first album, Neapolitan. How was recording that first album for Zoo Entertainment, and how was it working with Zoo? I know you guys had a tumultuous relationship, right?
We'll go back. We didn't really start as a cover band. We invented an alter ego to get by. So we had a moonlighting gig as this sort of British invasion shtick we did. It was kind of comedic. And that was to pay for our daily recording. So we started as basically an indie original band and invented this thing because the scene in Vancouver couldn't really support a band that didn't want to have day jobs and didn't want to play just bar gigs all the time in order to get by. There weren't enough original gigs. So we did that. And eventually, having recorded enough stuff, we were naive enough to sort of get on a plane and go to Los Angeles to see if someone down there would have an open mind. And it worked out over a period of time. We had a house gig down there, and we got noticed. And Zoo was a new label. We never had a tumultuous relationship with them at all. They basically let us do what we wanted to do, which was not common back then. But there was this idea after Sub Pop and some of these smaller indie labels became had big success that major labels, as they used to be called, would form these indie labels under their wing. And it was kind of a weird idea. And Zoo was one of them. So we had a great relationship with them, and they let us take care of ourselves and remain kind of with that indie spirit.
That's cool. So, they were owned by BMG, but they were just kind of like a boutique label underneath that big label, right?
Yes, exactly. So they had Matthew Sweet and ourselves and Tool and a host of other bands that maybe nobody's heard of, but they worked hard to make it happen. And so there was that was a great relationship actually. But after a couple records, they were at the end of the option there. And we decided that it might be better if we moved on. We went to Warner Music.
Are you guys aware of the band called Self?
I've heard of Self, but then that might just be my therapist.
Nice. Yeah, he was on Zoo. It was Matt Mahaffey. He's now kind Beck's traveling band and stuff like that. Got to play on the mm-hmm. album of the year, 2015, which you never would have guessed. But that's pretty cool. Was there any kind of pressure like, hey, it's 1991. Can you guys like get a little more dirty looking and wear some flannel and be more depressed? Or was it just do you guys and we'll be there for you kind of?
Yeah, I'm sure they got frustrated in some way because we came as four guys with a bunch of music that we liked to make. That was our image. We were in being Canadian. I don't know if that's enough. You know, people, it's kind of like you're always secretly Canadian. You're not overtly Canadian. So it was there wasn't really a big selling point. And they tried different things. And I think their selection of songs for singles tended to skew itself to the novelty in what we were doing sometimes and the satirical part of what we did. And that kind of gave the public a strange impression of who we actually were.
Yeah, the singles didn't quite capture the rest of the vibe of the album tracks on some of the albums like Nest and mm-hmm. whatnot. And but that's kind of a cool thing that it, being Canada was not or Canadian wasn't quite enough to be an image maker. But how did you guys end up falling in with Warren Zevon, which happens to be one of my favorite musicians? And how did he like rub off on you, not only musically, but just in your personal life?
We were on the road promoting our first album, Neapolitan, with a band called Voice of the Beehive from England. And in America and got a call from our manager saying, how'd you like when you finish on the other end of the States to go home and have Warren Zevon show up and then be his band and open the show? And so what do you say? You just go, yeah, how did that happen? We had the same agent, and he'd gone to his agent and said, I want to do this, which he'd done before with a couple other bands. I want a new band, and I want them to, you know, be appropriate, and I want them to play with me.
Even REM at one point, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so he said, okay, here's a stack of new releases. I'll send them to you, and you tell me what you think. So he picked ours and said, these guys sound good. And he showed up, and we rehearsed for a few days, and off we went for a few months. And it was an incredible mentorship. He was a great friend and a very funny man. And we were fans from before, from high school, you know.
Sure.
And so it was a great mentorship. It was our first time on a big, you know, rock tour bus, and he had such a knowledge of what to do and what not to do. And sometimes he did what you shouldn't do anyway. And he was a great pal, and we miss him.
Yeah, that is awesome. Just a cool story. I can kind of feel like his sarcasm and his lyrics kind of rubbed off on you guys a little bit, maybe his humor and stuff.
Well, we came, that's what's the part that was great, is we came from the same place. And I think that he rubbed off on me back when I discovered Excitable Boy in high school. I realized, hey, someone else thinks the way I do, but so there is a future in it. And then we discussed many times how there was actually no future in it, and he tricked me into it, and he fucked me over.
Very good. I love it. Yeah, so then, like, the mid-90s are happening, and that whole signing boom kind of gave way to a bunch of watered-down acts in the whole wake of the alternative boom. And you guys were able to hold your footing, but after a while, did Zoo drop you, or did you leave Zoo, or what happened with that?
Our manager noticed a option that wasn't dealt with in the right way, and so we went elsewhere. I think they'd run out of ideas, and I think they may have dropped us anyway, but we went to Warner and Elektra, actually, in the States, and Sire with Seymour Stein originally, and then to Elektra with Sylvia Roan, and enjoyed that. And then eventually the band itself got to the point where we said, is this time? Should we take a break? And we did for a while, and came back in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, and around that era, I mean, the mid-90s, you got to work on the Brand Candy soundtrack by the Kids in the Hall, and
mm-hmm.
Great movie, awesome soundtrack, a Matador release, and yeah, you got the pretty much every name on Matador: Liz Phair, Pavement, Guided by Voices, Yola Tango, Odds. Mm-hmm. So did you curate that thing?
I did, with a couple of the guys from Matador. I was the scoring composer and for the film, and Doug and Pat from the band also worked with me on that, and sort of led to, we had been friends with the Kids for a while, and they'd collaborated with us on videos and things like that, and it led to that, and I'm still scoring TV and films ever since, kind of thing.
Nice. There's got to be it's a different whole ballpark compared to recording an album. This, you're trying to find something that works with the whole picture instead of just putting your creative stamp on it, you know?
Yeah, it's there's an inspiration there. It's provided for you, and you try to support it and give it more life, if for want of a better term. But it has been great. My working relationship with, currently I'm scoring a television show for Bruce McCullough from the Kids, original Kid in the Hall, who's now a director, actor, creator. And
I heard that's awesome. What's that called, by the way?
Young Drunk Punk.
Nice. Yeah, I heard some good words about that. I'll have to check it out now. Yeah.
It is really good, yeah.
Is that available on Netflix, or is that TV, or what? How can we find
it's
that?
TV, it's new TV currently, so it's up 4 episodes in and of 13, and myself and another gentleman named Jim McGraw from Toronto are scoring it, and we also collaborated on the last Kids in the Hall series called Death Comes to Town.
Sure, nice.
So this one's is great. I hope it gets to you soon.
Nice. Is there any kind of film or TV show that was scored that you're like, man, I would really like something like that inspired you to take this direction?
Well, I think we live in a visual world, and film and TV is a big part of everyone's lives. So I loved the stuff that was happening. And, you know, I love so much TV and film. It's hard to say anything that inspired me to do it. The reason I got into it is because those guys said, we think it would be cool if you did it. Can you do it? I said, I always say yes. So that's usually the biggest problem I have in my life is I say yes, and then I go, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, you're doing my show. You said yes, and I appreciate it, man.
Oh, yeah, I always say yes.
Yeah, I just got a couple more questions, and just want to thank you for taking the time out. How about favorite other Canadian bands that you could turn on some guys from the States to?
That they might not have heard of, because there's probably plenty that they've heard of. So
yeah, I mean, the Tragically Hip is one that I haven't gotten into only because mm-hmm. my math teacher in sixth grade was into the Tragically Hip, and I've heard awesome things about them, but I always go back to, oh, Mrs. Castillo like them. They can't be that great. But then I read all these reviews, and they're awesome, so I'm sure they're good, right?
Well, we have quite an – I have another band project with Rob Baker from the Tragically Hip called Strippers Union, and the guys in the Odds and a few of the guys in the Hip and Horn Section and so forth. We've made a couple albums, so check that out.
Nice.
That's really interesting. Those are two.
The melding
records.
Of the minds. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And currently there's a lot. Like, have you heard Hot Hot Heat?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sub Pop.
There you go. Yeah. And then, but there's a new band called the Mounties that features Steve Bay of Hot Hot Heat and a guy named Hoxley Workman and Ryan Dahl, who's in a band called Limb Lifter. And the Mounties is pretty cool. And that might be something that hasn't crossed your path yet.
Nice.
You can check it out. A song of theirs here was popular called Headphones.
Sweet.
And, boy, off the top of my head, this is pretty hard. It's a big country. Matt Mays. You heard Matt Mays?
Doesn't ring a bell. What's his
name? Matt Mays is kind of, it's loud. It's rock and roll. It's Neil Young influenced, maybe. Tom Petty influenced.
That's right up my alley. Nice.
Yeah. Boy, oh, boy.
How about this? I got introduced.
I can draw it up for you, and you can put it on your site.
yeah. Send me a couple links, and I'll put them up with the show when it goes up on Saturday.
Sure.
Yeah. Here's how I got introduced to you via social networking through Paul Myers, another Canadian musician. You know,
Gravelberry.
Friends with a lot of comedians and whatnot. The Gravelberries. I found that disc. Pretty awesome, and now he's got the Paul and John, and I've hocked that a ton on this show. I love that power pop sound that he's bringing back, and how did you guys meet?
Paul and I met, we were on the same bill at Ontario Place in Toronto in, oh God, I don't know, 92 or something like that, he was there. I can't even remember now whether he was on the bill or not, but I met him back when we would be in Toronto hanging out and eventually ended up at parties with other musicians. And he was friends with Pursuit of Happiness and Bare Naked Ladies and all these people we knew, Shadowy Man. So we'd run into each other and we became friends. We've been friends ever since.
That's really cool. Super nice guy. And thank you so much for doing this interview. How about what's next for Odds?
We're doing gigs from here through the summer and starting to look at what comes up next as far as writing some more music. Like I said, we did that kind of double album and now all that stuff is out there. It's only been out a little while, the last bit of it, but we're going to have to come up with something new. And we all work together on some of these TV projects too, so I see everybody come and go helping.
Oh, I get you. Nice. All right, cool. So, yeah, check out oddsmusic.com, right? That's the website?
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
And Twitter, at Craig Northey. Yeah, I had a blast chatting music with you. And, yeah, any last words?
I'll never have any last words. That's my last words.
Nice, I love it. Yeah, and on behalf of Craig Northey, this is Andy signing off for The Andy Derer Show. This episode of The Andy Derer Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family-owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family-friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full-service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luaus, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com. Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate. This episode of The Andy Derer Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia, a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out, Record Utopia. Be sure to follow Andy on Twitter, that's at Andy Derer, and like our show on Facebook, that's facebook.com/TheAndyDererShow. Videos at youtube.com/AndrewMartinDerer, and we're on iTunes, just search The Andy Derer Show, please leave a review. Thanks so much to our wonderful sponsors, Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue, Record Utopia, The Man Grate, and Amazon.com. Theme song courtesy of Rich Banks Music. Thank you so much for checking out The Andy Derer Show. TheAndyDareShow.com.